Our first reading is from the book of Daniel 2, chapter 2, verses 19b to 23. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes the kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Our second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let's go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Lyra. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard two very different prayers this morning. We thank you that there is a prayer for each and every circumstance and scenario. Help us to see how prayer can help us transform our inner lives and our hearts so that we might be more like you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I have a bit of an uneasy relationship with tears. I don't know how many of you enjoy the experience of crying. But when I was young, I got teased a lot at school, combination of awkwardness and enjoying being in the classroom that did not go over well with my classmates. And sometimes that teasing would be about the tears that came as a result of the teasing. Before I was here, I spent, and even now that I am here, I often was in rooms as an adult where I was the only woman in a room full of men, whether it was as an engineer or as a minister. And often in our society, we see tears as a sign of weakness, and tears that are more likely to come from a woman than a man. And so I've internalized some of this, and so I feel very awkward when I cry. Sometimes it feels like a failure, that I haven't been able to keep things under control. And yet, tears can be healing when things are hard. Sometimes it's the way that those emotions and feelings come out is through the tears that we shed. And at many times, especially times of deep grief, they're unavoidable. Whether you like them or not, here they come. So I'm taking a class in spiritual formation And other than my professor, I am the only woman in the class. And so it was my turn to share, and we each take turns sharing whatever's on our hearts. And then the idea of the class is that the other people in the class are helping you to connect with God. So it's not about them giving advice or anything like that. It's about trying to see where the Spirit is working. And I thought I was doing pretty well that day. But I start to talk and to share what's on my heart, and the tears, they start to flow. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my goodness, here goes the weak, weepy girl, right, in the class, was how I felt. And then my professor, who I think maybe sensed my discomfort, said, you know, often tears are a sign that the Holy Spirit is present. And I thought, what an interesting way to think about tears, that they could in fact be a sign that the Spirit has descended upon us and wants us to hear something important. In that book I showed you last week, the prayer book by Foster, he has a chapter called The Prayer of Tears. And he talks about it as being a feeling of deep sorrow over our sins and the sins of the world, and a deep sense of gratitude for the grace that God offers. That tears can, in fact, be a sense that who we are and our failings have actually reached our hearts. And he talks about how if the emotional part of our lives remains untouched by our relationship with God, then something is missing. We can't have a meaningful relationship if it's all in our heads. He says tears are a sign that God has touched this emotional center. Tears are God's way of helping us descend with the mind into the heart and there bow in perpetual worship and adoration. Now, I think it's fair to say, and I include myself in this group, that there are a lot of us here that spend a lot of time in our heads. We do a lot of thinking about God, maybe, about faith, about work, about family. We spend a lot of time up here. That's our natural place to rest. And sometimes we can even see emotions as a hindrance. There's something that gets in the way of the rational part, the thing that is supposed to be superior, or the thing that's supposed to keep us on a good path. Our emotions can get in the way of that. But that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what God invites us into, right? Jesus, and before Jesus, Moses, right? God says what we are called to do is love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we can love God with our minds. Our minds get used as part of our sense of our faith and how we live it out. But we can't ignore those other categories for the sake of our mind. So what does it look like if our emotions are in fact a gift from God that help us go deeper in our relationship with God and with each other? And that's where some of the power of the prayer of tears comes in. And along with that is its partner, the prayer of relinquishment, which is just a big word of saying the acceptance that sometimes God's answer to our prayers is no. That we are invited to come to God with all of our wants and needs and desires, and God listens to them and he answers those prayers. But sometimes the answer is no. And we are invited to go into our prayers accepting that that might be the response, which is hard. And I think we see both of these prayers in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. As a reminder, he's just had the Last Supper with his disciples. He knows that Judas has gone off, or he thinks that Judas has gone off, to tell the officials where he is. He gets a sense that this is going to be the end of his life on earth. And he's understandably full of grief and sorrow. I'm sure for himself and for the pain he's going to experience, but also on behalf of his disciples, his friends, maybe a sense that maybe he hasn't done all the things he wanted to do. Has he taught them enough? As much as Jesus is God, Jesus is human. And so he chooses, I would say, to limit his knowledge at the time where he is human. So he doesn't really know what's going to come. And he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In another story in John, it simply says Jesus wept. Jesus was a man of emotion as well as of reason. He also prays, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." Jesus didn't want to die. We don't want to get sick, to feel more frail than we were. We don't want to lose friends, sometimes to move or to change. And Jesus models what we do. We say, "God, I don't want this to happen to me. I don't like where this is going. Please, God, take this cup from me." This is a good prayer. We know this because Jesus prayed it. But then he ends it with, "But not my will, but yours be done." Or another way to say this, "God, this is what I want to happen, but help me accept whatever answer you give me. I want your will over my desire." Hard prayer to pray. But you can imagine why it might transform us, why it might give us a different view of our relationship with God, of our relationship with people, of how we make decisions. God transforms us. And God's answer to Jesus in this scenario was no. Jesus says, "Please take this cup from me." And God says no. And Jesus knows that's the answer because Judas shows up and he gets arrested and continues on with his trial and his crucifixion. But that doesn't change Jesus' relationship with his Father, because Jesus knows that God's will is more than his desire. That has been my prayer over the last few weeks related to our conversations about maybe partnering with the saints, with St. David and St. Martin. I don't want my will to be done. I want God's will to be done. And my prayer is that God will make it clear what the answer is, yes or no, as we move forward. And I'll tell you, it eases the burden a little. Because it's not my decision. It's God's. And if we all pray this same prayer, then I believe God will answer us and show us where to go. But it's not all about sorrow and acceptance of the prayers that we don't like to hear no to. Daniel's prayer is one of celebration and of thanksgiving. Daniel was also in a scenario where he was about to die. King Nebuchadnezzar came up with the craziest ultimatum. He said, "I've had a dream. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You tell me and you interpret it. And if nobody can do that for me, you're all dying. I'm killing y'all." And Daniel's like, "This is nuts." All of the advisors to the king are like, "This is crazy. How can we interpret a dream that we don't even know what happened?" And so Daniel and his friends, they go and they pray. And they say, "God, please show us the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's dream." And overnight, God answers that prayer with yes. He says, through a dream that Daniel has, "Here is what Nebuchadnezzar saw, and here is what it means." And the prayer that we heard is the prayer that Daniel offers when he wakes up in the morning. Before he goes to tell King Nebuchadnezzar what's happened, before he says anything else, he offers this prayer of praise and worship and celebration. But this doesn't happen in a vacuum. We know from the very beginning of Daniel that Daniel has a gift for interpreting dreams. That's something that God has given us It's written in the first chapter. And although this comes later, we also learn that Daniel doesn't just pray when he needs it. In chapter 6, verse 10, it says, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. That was Daniel's habit. And his habit plus his gift meant that he was prepared when life got hard and he didn't know what to do. And so he went and he prayed, and God honored his gift and gave him the answer that he hoped for. And what Daniel says in his prayer is what God gave him was wisdom and knowledge. Here's another transformation. On his own, who knows where Daniel would have been? But with his trust in God, even in a foreign place, right? He's living now in Babylon. He's in the court of the king of the people who took away the Jews from Judah and forced them into Babylon. He's working for the enemy. And in the midst of that, this regular routine of prayer, of using his gifts to the best of his ability, allow him to save his own and his friends' lives and the lives of all of these other advisors who could not do what Daniel could do, who could not do what God could do. And so later in the story, when Daniel's friends get thrown into the fiery furnace, when Daniel gets thrown into the den of lions, these also don't happen in a vacuum. God has been showing them from the beginning that God will show up. And so in all of those cases, they come forward with courage, with hope, with faith, because God has shown them step by step that that is the way to life. So what about us? We are not Jesus. We are not Daniel. We are us. Well, the first step I would suggest, if you don't do it already, is to start a regular pattern of daily prayer. It doesn't have to be long. Start with 5 minutes. If you've got a phone, set a timer in your phone, a daily reminder, at a time when you know you can fairly reliably be somewhere quiet. Just pray. You can try the hands up, hands down prayer. You can pick a psalm and turn it into your own prayer. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. You can just say whatever's on your mind. You can journal. You can draw. But make it intentional about spending time with God and listening for God's voice. And I encourage you to bring God all of your feelings. There is no feeling too big for God to handle. Joys and sorrows and fears and frustrations. Yell at God if you need to, but with the expectation that God will answer. And always with hope that that thing that makes us frustrated, that makes us angry, will not last forever. That there is a way forward. And if you're still not really sure what all this prayer stuff is about, read some stories of people who pray. Read the book of Daniel. This Lenten season, we're going to read Matthew. And so you'll get again this story that we heard this morning, and the other times that Jesus talks about what it means to pray. Paul starts all of his letters with a prayer of some kind. First chapter or two, you'll find a prayer. And use them as a model. We don't have to start from scratch. But my encouragement to you is not to pray even if you're uncertain as to whether it's helpful, as to whether you're doing it right, as to whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Simply pray. And God will transform you to something that looks more like Jesus. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you do always invite us in to talk to you, that you want a relationship with us, and that means conversation. And so help us, God, to talk to you, to listen for you, to be aware of where you are working and what you are doing. so that we might become more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.